Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. A tragic episode in America's long history of racial injustice finally reached a conclusion of sorts this week when a Minnesota jury unanimously found Derek Chauvin guilty of murdering George Floyd. The former Minneapolis police officer knelt on Floyd, who was handcuffed and face down on the pavement for more than 9 minutes on a Minneapolis sidewalk last May. On the day after the verdict was handed down, I got a chance to discuss what it means and doesn't mean for criminal justice reform, as well as some of the major policy changes elected leaders ought now to be discussing, with one of North Carolina's leading voices for real and lasting racial justice, Emancipate North Carolina Executive Director Dawn Blagrove. Well, Dawn, welcome back to News and Views. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
As we record this, it's the morning after the verdict in the Derek Chauvin trial. I know you have a lot of reactions to it, but if you wouldn't mind sharing some of them anyway with our listeners, we'd sure appreciate it.
I think the most important thing that we need to recognize in this moment is that it is gratifying to see a conviction. It is good for our collective souls and our collective spirits to see a conviction. But we need to be very careful not to call this justice, because that is not what this is. We need to make sure that we are using the momentum from this moment to move forward to get substantive changes to the carceral system, policing in particular, to avoid the next George Floyd. And even as I say that, it's difficult to do, to hold that space when we know that just minutes after the George Floyd verdict was read yesterday, a 16-year-old girl in Columbus, Ohio was being shot and killed by a law enforcement officer.
Yeah.
This problem is bigger than one case. It is a systemic issue that has got to be addressed. And at the heart of that systemic issue is a lack of respect for Black lives, a social dissonance about how we create safety. And I think that the verdict was really a good step towards untethering our sense of personal safety from policing and the carceral state, because those two things shouldn't go together. For many, many people in this country, the police are a very dangerous element.
Yeah.
And we need to be very cognizant of that in this moment.
Yeah, I was moved by in your one of the official statement you sent out, in which you said something to the effect that seeing a murderer spend the rest of his life in a cage isn't going to necessarily solve, clearly isn't going to solve this crisis we have in our society, this situation that's obviously hundreds of years in the making. And, you know, just that one little incentive perhaps that will be provided to some police officers to think twice, that's not going to solve the problem. We need really ambitious, even radical changes to the approach we bring to criminal justice in our society. I know you have a lot of ideas as to what some of those might be. Do you think maybe you could summarize some of them for us?
I sure could. I think, number one, we need to get rid of qualified immunity. Qualified immunity is a process that protects law enforcement officers from personal liability when they do bad acts to the people that they are supposed to be protecting.
Which means you can't sue them.
Exactly, which means you can't sue them. And that is a problem, because what we know for sure is that doing the right thing for the sake of doing the right thing clearly is not enough to change police culture. I think what we need to do is make sure that this feels very personal and that law enforcement officers feel a real sense of personal loss when they violate the trust of the community. I'm an attorney. I have to have liability insurance, malpractice insurance, as a professional to protect folks in the event that I am representing you in my professional capacity and I do something that harms you. That liability insurance is available to help try to make that person whole. It also serves as an incentive for me as a professional to conduct myself by the highest possible standards. Mm-hmm. Because if I cannot maintain that liability insurance, if I cannot afford to pay for that liability insurance, then I am no longer able to be a lawyer and practice my profession. I think law enforcement officers should have to hold and carry the same type of personal liability insurance for their work. Personal and professional malpractice insurance. And when they, that particular officer, does something wrong, then I think they should understand that their livelihood, their economic security will be on the line. And maybe the fear of losing their personal economic safety would be enough for them to respect Black and brown bodies. I also think we need to do away with internal affairs. Mm. Internal affairs as a whole needs to go. What we know for sure is that police cannot police themselves. Right. Clearly, because of the epidemic that we are seeing in this country, that process of policing themselves is not working. Right. We need to do away with internal affairs and create an independent agency that is standalone, that is supported by the same funding that we would use for internal affairs to investigate the police and mm-hmm. make sure that they are being held properly accountable for their actions.
We're talking with Dawn Blagrove, who's the executive director of Emancipate North Carolina, one of our state's leading spokespersons and visionaries on the whole issue of criminal justice reform. And we're talking about, of course, the aftermath of the George Floyd murder trial and the need for much more dramatic reform when it comes to our criminal justice system. Obviously, we need to hold police accountable. Are there other things that you think need to be lifted up at this time that probably could use some public attention in the aftermath of this moment?
We need to look to our legislators to help create this level of accountability that we need to reform and reimagine law enforcement. North Carolina, in this current session of the General Assembly, we have seen a flurry of legislative bills introduced that double down on protecting law enforcement and insulating them from accountability. That's got to stop. For example, the officer that murdered George Floyd had 17 grievances filed against him for excessive force. 17. But the people don't know that until after he's already fired, after that officer has already killed someone. In North Carolina, you are unable as a citizen to see the personnel files or grievances that are filed against law enforcement officers. That is because of a statute that is on the books here in North Carolina that fully insulates law enforcement officers from accountability to the people and transparency. That has got to go. We have got to create real transparency so that the people can know who is out on these streets, what prejudices and what biases they have. And then we need to create some real visible accountability for those officers and get rid of them. Mm-hmm. We need to figure out a way to get rid of the folks who do not deserve the trust of the people.
Another issue I know you've identified is just the whole issue of sending out armed police officers to deal with every single 911 call when so often maybe that's not what's called for.
An armed law enforcement officer showing up at any situation should be the exception and not the rule. And this is kind of what defunding the police is about. It's a reimagining what we actually need people with guns on the streets doing. Why do we need law enforcement officers at a traffic accident? Why do we need them for that? Why do we need law enforcement officers patrolling parks and kids who are hanging out in parks after the sun goes down? We don't need people with guns for that. And more importantly, what we don't need law enforcement for is to patrol people who are exercising their constitutional right to protest. Here in Raleigh, just last week, a bunch of high school kids were doing a vigil about Dante Wright's murder by law enforcement in Minnesota. And law enforcement's response to those kids was to arrest them, to manhandle them, use their billy clubs on these kids, that all of them were eventually released with no bond at all. And they were only charged with failing to disperse. How does that advance safety? How does that advance security in Raleigh or in any city? It doesn't. Law enforcement is really just being used as a way to suppress working class, poor class, Black and brown people from expressing their ideas, from pushing back against the status quo and for fighting for equity and for change.
It's a provocative statement, but it's an important one that I think more and more people are starting to wrap their arms around. We really appreciate you lifting that up. We know it's an uphill battle, but we know you're not going to be going anywhere, and you're going to be keep pushing, and we know a lot of people will be working with you. So thanks so much for doing it. We'll all try to take a little bit of inspiration from this week to keep being a part of this important movement. Thank you so much for all you do, Dawn.
Thank you so much for having me, Rob, and thank you for elevating these ideas. It's important.
Coming up next, we'll catch up on some of the latest developments at the General Assembly with one of North Carolina's up-and-coming state senators. Don't go away.